This is Bucky Bacall with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast post-election episode. Although I like to think of myself as a maverick, before mavericks were cool, I see an excellent opportunity this week in following the crowds of commentators rushing to their microphones to say something inspiring or prescient in the wake of the election of Barack Obama to the office of President of the United States. Right now, everyone's thinking big, the economy, the environment, an end to bloody resource wars. My experience is that radical change on a grand scale is made up of seemingly modest proposals. The perfect example is the Bucky Bacall agenda. Some people might not understand the vast promise of seeding the nation with backyard chicken operations, and will be confused by my focus on urban chickening. What they need to understand is that under my million small coops of light plan, raising chickens for eggs, meat, pest control, fertilizer, soil tilling, and companionship raises resource efficiency, reduces pollution, and builds both individual self-reliance and strong community. Plus, it raises the bar on the humane treatment of animals. Because backyard chickening is an inherently local enterprise, our municipal and state elections are more directly linked to the progress of the chickeners' agenda than national politics. Fortunately, chickening is already legal in most United States cities. It's one thing that we have over Canada. However, there are other laws and codes on the local level that do have a chilling effect on chickening activity. For instance, one of the first government programs our local electeds will hopefully reverse is called NAIS, or the National Animal Identification System. It's actually a national program that was introduced in 2002, supposedly out of concern over infectious diseases like mad cow, with the strategy of microchipping and tracking by database all livestock for, quote, rapid traceback in the event of a disease concern. Originally, no cattle, swine, or fowl would be exempt, no matter how small their flock. Presumably, the agribusinesses are willing to deal with the intrusion in exchange for perceived marketability as meat that's safe from disease. More importantly, the plan is logistically manageable and affordable when you look at the centralization, mechanization, and economies of scale of factory farming, but devastatingly expensive and time-consuming for backyard farmers. NAIS has been mostly unsuccessful because of the huge resistance to it from small farmers, particularly in states like Vermont and Kentucky. But corporate agribusiness has still pursued NAIS by shifting their focus from a USDA-run nationwide program to a bunch of state-run programs. And there's still resistance in key states, but a form of the program now survives in the shape of supposedly local efforts to track animals, while we can be sure another attempt at nationwide tracking waits in the wings for another false rationale, such as the factory farm-created monsters known as mad cow or bird flu. Eliminating animal tracking would be a good step forward, but state legislators would do well to consider implementing incentive programs or government-sponsored consultation. Heck, every state's representative has a patriotic duty when they apply for state homeland security funds to press the case that a decentralized food production network is much less vulnerable to security threats than a centralized, corporatized one. On a municipal level, cities could take a more serious look at promoting urban chickens as part of the new green plans that are gaining so much popularity as a way to reduce traffic congestion, pollution, and other quality of life issues. Bucky Bacall listeners know I'm an avid bicyclist, but in addition to solutions like bicycle lanes and bike share programs that have been gaining traction, creating a small chicken infrastructure would produce similar outcomes. Think of all the traffic reduced if fewer trucks are delivering eggs, meat, and vegetables to huge supermarkets when consumers make fewer trips to the grocery store because they're feeding themselves from their own productive backyards. But the chicken agenda can be helped by a catalyst of change like Barack Obama in his new role as president. The White House could be a bully pulpit with the simple and compelling act of raising chickens on the White House lawn. There's been much excitement already around President Obama's talk of a first puppy. I'm just as moved by a cute puppy as the next guy, but I feel compelled to say, for the record, that dog ownership does not set a very good example for sustainability, what with all the processed food they eat, the difficult to compost poop they produce, and the plastic toys they chew through every day. And the White House dog is not a working dog, protecting flocks of sheep or guarding the White House from intruders. Imagine the example, by contrast, the first family would be setting if they set up a presidential hen house, complete with, in pecking order, first rooster, first hen, and two or three more hens, and eventually some first chicks. There is certainly plenty of space on the White House's sprawling lawn, which is now wasted on heavily fertilized Kentucky bluegrass, which is arguably ornamental. Of course, at first, the chickens would have to be penned up away from all the poisons in the White House lawn, but a big enough space could be cleared to call a few fowl truly free range. The first children, Malia and Sasha, could be the primary coop caregivers, which could provide countless adorable photo opportunities for the press, as well as a chance to educate the public on the fun of chickening. In the first chicken run, the fowl would be able to demonstrate their skill at eliminating bugs and weeds, producing aesthetically and nutritionally superior eggs, and tilling and fertilizing the soil for the eventual planting of crops. After about a year at the first site, Malia and Sasha could oversee the relocation of the original chicken run to a neighboring site, and the original, now thoroughly aerated, fertilized, and weed seed scrubbed plot would be ready for a productive victory garden. Eventually, the entire White House lawn could be transformed into a productive farm that doesn't rely on external inputs, a la Joel Salatin's Polyface Farm, now made famous by Michael Pollan's wonderful book on food realities, The Omnivore's Dilemma. Important White House meals could be made with all organic, completely local ingredients. I might even suggest that the annual symbolic pardon of a Thanksgiving turkey could be made more meaningful when the turkey is a heritage turkey that resembles the original colonial breeds and is actually raised on site. But now I'm getting off the chicken topic. While all of this is going on, children and adults across our great nation would be transfixed by the ongoing, and seasonally changing, story of the White House garden. Before long, an inspired population would realize they too could have a piece of the lost American dream. All of this might be irritating to agribusiness, since it would threaten their stranglehold on food production, which could cause the Obama administration some discomfort. But they did promise change. And it would be difficult for opponents to attack something as deeply American as a small farm run by cute little children. It might take the intervention of urban chickeners like us to help people realize they can start a chicken and garden operation on spaces much smaller and closer to urban neighbors than the White House, but the heavy lifting will already have been done. I still remember during the Carter administration how Easterners suddenly became interested in Southern cuisine. My father's efforts to learn how to make grits, okra, and peanut butter soup were how I first became involved in food preparation, which eventually led to my passion for sourcing superior ingredients and made me the avid chickener and gardener I am today. If thousands of 22nd century Americans can be similarly inspired, just one per neighborhood, imagine the changes to our landscape, the improved local economies, local air quality, and lessened fuel use, stronger communities, and lastly, the personal well-being of every human participating in the agenda. And ultimately, that's what the chickener's agenda comes down to. Personal responsibility and civic involvement. Barack Obama, or even the government, can't create a vast network of small chicken coops for us. It's up to us to say, yes, we can raise chickens in our backyards and community gardens and source the balance of our food needs from small farmers operating close to our homes. This is Bucky Bacaw. I had a good time. Bucky, 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 Bucky.